You're listening to episode number 16 of the Secondary Science Simplified podcast. Hey, hey, and happy April! Over the next few weeks, I'm doing a series of episodes based on your requests on my Instagram. None of these topics are related to each other or anything like that, so there's no theme for the month, but I'm going to be covering all sorts of things that you have personally asked to hear about. Today's episode was the most requested topic, and it is all about how best to write sub-plans as a secondary science teacher. I'm going to be sharing with you my 5 best strategies with a simple action item for each one that you can take and implement right away to set yourself up for success the next time you end up meeting a substitute teacher. Ready to hear more? Then let's get to it. This is Secondary Science Simplified, a podcast for secondary science teachers who want to engage their students and simplify their lives. I'm Rebecca Joyner from It's Not Rocket Science. As a high school science teacher turned curriculum writer, I'm passionate about helping other science teachers love their jobs, serve their students, and do it all in only 40 hours a week. Are you ready to rock the time you spend in your classroom and actually have a life outside of it? You're in the right place, teacher friend. Let's get to today's episode. So a few weeks ago, when I polled my Instagram followers for what they wanted to hear about this spring on the podcast, this topic was by far the most requested, and I'm honestly not surprised at all. I don't know if there are many jobs like teaching where it is actually so much harder to be out of work than it is to actually just be there. Writing subplans as a secondary science teacher specifically is almost always worse than just powering through your dreaded seasonal allergies or actually making it to your bi-yearly dentist appointments. But thanks to the pandemic these last few years, most of us have been forced into a lot more practice with writing subplans than ever before. So whether you have to be out for yourself, for one of your kids, for canceled daycare, because you have too many students in your class that have been exposed, whatever it may be, we've been writing more subplans than probably all of the other years you were teaching prior to this pandemic combined. But even pre-pandemic life, I have personally always been a huge advocate for using all of your personal days and your sick days as you need them every year, despite the hassle that finding a sub and writing plans usually is. And this is because my first year teaching, I did not miss a single day of school. I skipped all those dentist appointments and did not get regular checkups because what's open after school hours? Most doctor's offices aren't. And if I didn't feel well, unless I had I didn't have any fever, so I just kind of powered through. And then my second year teaching, I was eating lunch in my department with a bunch of other science teachers. And one of the teachers there was in her last year of teaching before retirement. And she constantly was telling us younger teachers, because there were about 5 of us that were in our first 3 years of teaching, that her biggest regret from her entire 25 years in the classroom was not using all of her days each year. She had saved up as many days as she could over the years because our district had kind of like a bonus system where at retirement, all of your saved days, you'd get kind of reimbursed for them, if you will. And she said that now that she had reached the end, it wasn't worth it. She felt like the small financial reward wasn't worth the years of her pushing through physical illness and mental exhaustion just to avoid not having to miss school. And I've never forgotten her saying that. And so I took that really seriously. And the next few years I was in the classroom, if I needed a day, I took it. And it was so freeing. And now I know not everyone has that luxury because you might have to be saving up sick days for your maternity leave so it's not entirely unpaid. I've been there. Or, you know, you need to save your days so that when your kid is sick and out of daycare, you can use them. Totally get that. But I just want to encourage you, it's from her perspective. I found that really interesting and it's something I've never forgotten. So if you're having to be out of school, either willingly or because you just have to be because of the pandemic or some other reason, how can you write sub plans that don't absolutely suck all of the life and energy out of you in the process? That's what I'm here for. I have had several times where it always seems like I would get sick at like 5 a.m. I'd wake up with a fever or with my head in the toilet, and between bouts of sickness, be trying to like emergency text or email the secretary at my school, can you please find me a sub? Can you print this? Whatever it may be. And that is just not a fun place to be. It's very stressful. And so these five strategies were absolute game changers for me personally in setting myself up for success for those last minute absences. So strategy number one, pre-establish sub procedures with your students. I think this is so important, especially in such unprecedented times as this, where you're going to be absent so much more than you normally would be. I personally firmly believe that establishing and consistently reinforcing procedures in general is the number one way you can avoid whole class behavior issues. So I am very passionate about creating, communicating, and reinforcing a ton of different procedures in my classroom. I have five that I think are the most important that you teach your students, and I will link in the show notes a blog post where I cover those. But in addition to those top five procedures, I think it's so important that you teach your students procedures for what you're going to expect from them if you aren't able to be there one day. And I say this because my last year that I was most recently teaching in the classroom full time was when we were in the middle of the adoption process. And I knew going into that school year that I needed to prepare my students for me to be absent last minute and at very random times. And I'm so grateful I did that because I cannot tell you how many times I had to miss a random class period in order to get on the phone with a caseworker or a social worker or a lawyer, or we had to drive across the state to meet expectant parents that were considering us to raise their children. And then eventually that spring, we got the official call that we had to head to the hospital to pick up our son. So there was just so much unknown. And so preparing my students in advance that, hey, I'm going to be out a lot, that was a game changer. Because in years prior, when we'd been walking through our unexplained infertility diagnosis, before we got to that point, we were doing a bunch of tests and trying to figure out what was going on and why we weren't getting pregnant. And I didn't give my students a heads up on that because it felt extremely personal, but I was missing a lot and I just didn't do a good job preparing them. So when we went into the year of our adoption, I knew I wanted my students to be prepared. And here are a few of the expectations and procedures I put into place with them in advance that year that made all of the difference for all of my last minute absences. So I told them, you will never get a free day in Ms. Joyner's class. I will always leave you something meaningful to do. I'm not going to leave you busy work by any means, but there's going to be something here for you to do. So I set the expectation that they needed to be prepared to learn even when I wasn't physically in the classroom. Another thing I trained them in is the expectation that if a substitute were to ever leave a negative report in any regard, the class was going to lose all of their board points. So board points are a really effective whole classroom management strategy that I learned from a teacher friend my first year teaching. And that teacher friend is actually going to be a guest on the podcast at the end of this month. So stay tuned for that episode. But essentially, it's a strategy where the whole class has a number on the board and it can range anywhere from like 0 to 5. But at the start of a unit, it starts as a 5 and the class can lose board points or gain them the entirety of the unit. And then on the day of your test, whatever number of board points they have remaining on the board is the amount that the bonus question on the test is worth. So if I always put a bonus question on my test. And so if they had 5 board points on the day of the test, the bonus question was worth 5 points. If they had 3 board points, it was only worth 3. If they had 0, the bonus question became a required question on the test. And now our school did not allow, you know, grades over 100 in the grade book, but it was one of those things where it was like, if you get the bonus question worth 5 points, you could miss 5 points on the test and still get 100. And I always made sure my bonus questions were things that were reasonable. So it wasn't this huge stretch, like no one would be able to answer it. They were very reasonable questions. So students were motivated to be able to do it. But then they were also a whole nother question. Like they didn't want it to be a required question on the test. So I have a whole blog post about this that I'll link in the show notes. But that was a really important factor for me, is my students wanted to have board points and they wanted to have a lot of them. And so that was one of the expectations I trained them in and one of the procedures. Like if I get a negative report or if I come back and this classroom is an absolute wreck, every class is losing their board points, period, going down to zero. So that was a really, really simple way to help manage the class when I wasn't physically present. And then another expectation and procedure I taught them was that if they had any late work, I expected them to still submit it in my turn-in bin. So I have a turn-in bin in my classroom where all work is always submitted. They're never giving it to me. They're always placing it in this bin. And I would tell them, if I'm not here, still put it in the bin, because especially if I'm out and I'm not personally sick, usually then the next day when I would come back, I would get there early and try to catch up on things. And so I want to get your late work. Again, that might not be something you care about. It may vary from your late work policies, and that's fine. But really consider the things that you really care about and what kind of expectations and procedures can you teach them now that would be really helpful for them to know when you're out. And two additional things I really recommend doing in advance to set yourself up for success, especially with those last minute absences that like are completely unplanned. First is pick two or three students in each class that you teach whose names that you could leave with a substitute if your substitute has any questions for where something's located or how you do certain things. I try to choose students who are responsible and honest and also rarely absent. And I would ask these students in advance if they would be willing to help a sub when I was absent and answer any questions. And this was so helpful for my substitutes. I cannot tell you how many substitutes commented on the fact that it relieved a lot of their own anxieties walking into classrooms of 30 students to know, like, okay, I know that I can ask these three people questions and I should be getting an honest answer because the teacher told me that. And I was regularly getting thanked for that. So selecting two to three students to kind of be substitute helpers is a game changer. And it doesn't need to be like the number one A-plus student in your class. It's not about that. It's truly about someone who's responsible and honest and most likely going to be in class every day. And then my second suggestion underneath this overall strategy is make a general substitute guide sheet. So it's a very simple, like one-page PDF. And on it, put like all of the basic information that a sub would need to know. So mine had my bell schedule and the names of the classes I taught. I had a list of our classroom rules and procedures. And, you know, not every single one, but like the most basic things. I put down neighboring teachers' names, you know, like Dan across the hall. He is your next door neighbor. He's in room 303. He's a great person to ask for help. Or Deirdre down two doors down, whatever it may be. And then I also on this guide listed those student helpers that I selected in each class. And then I would print out this PDF and I had a roster for each class and I stapled all those things together and I kept it in a drawer in my desk. And so I had it in a way that it was kind of useful all year long. It wasn't, you know, specific to August or whatever. So that way I didn't have to remake it. I just made it once and I didn't have to edit it. And then it was always physically available. And then I had a digital version as well that I could email to the sub if I needed to. So I highly recommend making one of those as well. Okay, so your first action tip is, if that was a lot, and I know it was, I'm just like, so excited to talk to you about this subject. So I have a lot to say. So I'm going to give you one really simple takeaway if that was too much. Your one action tip for this strategy today or tomorrow, whenever you're listening to this and you see your students next, talk to two or three students per class, ask them to be your helpers for potential subs, and then use those to write your general substitute guide. And then this is something you can just easily tweak each fall to have for the upcoming school year, and it just will make your life a lot easier. Okay, strategy number two for writing sub plans in a way that's going to be painless and make your life way easier down the road is create a shared folder for the entire science department with evergreen sub plans. Okay, so let me explain what that means. This was actually a school policy at one of the schools I taught at, and I found it really helpful to have. So as a science department, you create either like a shared Dropbox folder or a shared Google Drive folder, and everyone in the department is going to be in the folder, and admin are as well. And probably like your secretary or someone, you know, in the office is going to be in it as well to have access to it. And then within that shared folder, each teacher should have their own subfolder. And every person in your department is going to include in their individual subfolder their general substitute guide, like I just mentioned. I convinced everyone to upload one of those. And so everyone had a digital version in their own folder that was specific to them. And then a handful of evergreen subplans. And so what I mean by evergreen is that you create a few different lesson plans that could be used any time of year in any of your classes. And this will be so helpful for those days, again, when you're waking up to your alarm only to realize that there's a 98% chance that you probably have strep throat, or for those nights where you are up 17 times with your puking toddler and you just don't have the mental capacity to call a sub, let alone run into school and try to print things out for a sub or anything like that. And so it's so nice just to have this digitally prepared so then you can shoot a text to your teacher friend down the hall or whatever it may be, and they can help you out with this because they have access to all that stuff already. Now, I know this may seem impossible. Like, how are you supposed to come up with evergreen plans that are actually meaningful, not just like random busy work? So if it just seems too crazy because you teach way too many different classes and none of your preps could really, you know, use the same kind of things, then I recommend just coming up with a few plans for each content area you teach. So maybe you have two biology any time of the year plans that you could use, or two physics any time of the year in physics, you could use one of these two plans. That kind of thing. And you can reuse these year after year as well, which is the nice thing. Now, if you want ideas, I've got you. Here are some of my favorite ideas for evergreen plans that, again, aren't just like busy work. Your students are going to get something out of it and it's going to be meaningful. So first is a podcast walk and talk. So I mentioned this in a previous episode on the podcast. I believe it was episode 5. But have your students listen to a science podcast while they're walking around the track outside. And this is a great way to, one, keep your classroom clean while you're out of it and your absence, that when you return, it's just as nice as when you left it. And two, just kind of get the kids like out of their seats and get them some fresh air. So have them go outside, listen and walk, and then write a reflection. And again, you can hear more about how I do this and how I have students write reflections in episode 5 of the podcast, which I'll link in the show notes. Okay, another idea for an evergreen subplan is Turner's Graph of the Week. I truly don't believe students can ever have enough or too much practice interpreting graphs because it is just a skill required in every science course they're ever going to take, every standardized test they're going to sit through, and really every article they're going to read on social media. They need to be able to evaluate data for legitimacy. And Turner's Graph of the Week is a great way to do that. It's a free website. I will link it in the show notes. And it's a great thing you can have students use and analyze and answer questions about in an evergreen way. It would be good any time of year in any class. And then last but not least is any sort of scientific reading. I don't think our students can ever have too much practice with scientific literacy and strengthening that skill. So have them read some sort of scientific article and write a reflection on it. And in the show notes, I will link 2 sites that I like pulling articles from. You can use Science News for students for current events. And then one of my favorite sites is a site called Story Behind the Science. I have been using this site since I was student teaching, but essentially it just has a handful of awesome stories about various scientists, and it's organized by discipline. So it's really nice if you want to pull some lesson plans for your specific preps that you have. And I just love Story Behind the Science, and there's questions already embedded in there as well. And then the best part about this folder is that everyone in your department has access to it. So again, anyone could quickly prep subplans for you if you have a last minute absence, and it makes it easy for them to do it because they're not having to like go to your room and find, you know, this binder and then scan something and make a copy or whatever. They just are opening a folder and printing something from it. So my action tip for you with this is to talk to your department chair or your admin today about making this like a department-wide or school-wide thing. It takes very little effort on the front end, and it has such immense benefit on the back end. Okay, I know I've been extremely verbose with those first two strategies, so I promise the remaining three are much, much quicker. So hang in there with me. Okay, my third strategy is don't assign anything that requires a lot of grading. You all know as well as I do, like, it's just exhausting to be absent, and then you come back and there's just stacks of papers on your desk that you have to grade. And so I just really recommend, as you're considering your sub plans for your different classes, just try not to assign anything that's going to require you to grade a lot when you return. That's the last thing you need to be doing, whether this was a prearranged absence for, you know, a trip you're taking or an appointment, or a not prearranged absence because of sickness or whatever it may be. You just don't want to have to return to hours of grading to catch up on. So whatever you assign, if you assign something, just check it for completion and let it just be something that you can give them a check, like, thank you for doing this. You can discuss it. You can go over it in the class the next day, and then you can just move on. I want to give you the permission just to relieve yourself of the burden of having to check every little thing when you return. Your students will survive and you will too. And if you're training them in those expectations you have for when you're gone, they will put in some effort for you when you're not there. Okay, so my action tip for you for this one is to take a deep breath and let go of the feeling that you have to grade everything in order for your students to actually try and work hard for you. You don't. In fact, I beg you to stop grading everything. And if you need some specific suggestions for how to do that, check out episode 3 of this podcast, which is all about that. Okay, strategy number 4 is to avoid tech as much as possible. I know we are very tech savvy nowadays, thanks to having a ton of practice these last few years, virtual, in-person, hybrid, whatever. But I still feel like when I'm thinking of sub plans, I think we often just quickly go to our favorite science documentary or movie or, you know, website simulation, whatever. And while I also have a few of those that I love and they are great if you're going to be absent, I just can't tell you how many times I've returned from an absence only to find out that the substitute just couldn't figure out how to access the video or project it, or they couldn't get the sound to work or whatever it may be, or, oh goodness, the potential Wi-Fi issues if you're trying to stream something, which we all know just always happen at the absolute worst times. And then your students just basically sat there the entire time you were gone because the sub couldn't figure it out. And maybe you have much more advanced subs than I've had in my experience, but oftentimes our subs were like a list of parents at the school that were willing to come in. And so they just may not have been the most familiar with all of the tech and being able to troubleshoot it. And it's just a really big bummer when you've been sick, especially if it's more than one day and you return after a few days absent and you find out like your students have done absolutely nothing but wreck your classroom the entire time you're gone. That's just a bummer. So if you can, I just recommend eliminating as many potential tech issues as possible. And again, this is especially important, I feel like, if you're at a small school, like I was most recently, where 90% of your subs are parents of students at the school. And again, this is nothing against them, but they just aren't trained in secondary science and they may not have daily access to computers and projectors and all of that. And so it'll just make your life easier. And again, if you have that assigned student helper or a few students on your general substitute guide that are helpers, that can help because oftentimes they can kind of figure out, oh, you just need to like plug this in here and the sound will work. But it isn't necessarily foolproof. So when you can, I really recommend avoiding tech. And now I know the exception here is if you're in a one-to-one school, which so many of us are nowadays, where your students are just daily expected to have technology of their own. They have Wi-Fi, they have headphones, they're ready. Like if you're like, tech isn't a problem where I am, then great, please go for it. But if you ever personally have tech issues, just anticipate your sub will for sure have those and try to avoid if possible. So my action tip for you on this strategy is to come up with at least one evergreen sub plan that requires absolutely no tech. And if you do plan to require tech most of your absences, then I recommend in your general substitute guide that you include some specific guidelines for technology in that as well, just to help kind of prep your substitutes a little bit. And last but not least, my fifth strategy is set yourself up for success with how you plan on a regular basis. So I really feel like your last minute absences and your writing of sub plans, you know, in the wee hours of the morning or whatever it may be, can be simplified so much if you simplify how you're lesson planning on a regular basis. So a few of my strategies for doing that are to be batch lesson planning. Batching is where you're doing a lot of the same thing at once. I like to plan an entire unit at one time. And when I batch lesson plan like this, it's awesome because then when I am absent last minute, I already know what I'm expecting to cover next. And so oftentimes we can go ahead and just keep moving through because I'm not planning day by day. And then students can really be doing something productive while I'm gone. Another tip is to just to consistently incorporate student-centered learning activities in your instructional methods. We want to make sure that our students are used to learning on their own so that when you aren't there, it's not that this big deal at all. They're totally used to being able to learn and do things without you. So it's not this like huge tragedy that you're not there that day and they completely fall apart. I share four of my favorite no prep student-centered activities in episode 13. So be sure to give that one a listen if you're looking for ideas for how to do that on a regular basis. Another tip for setting yourself up for success with how you plan would be to use packets. I cannot tell you how much I love packets as an organizational tool, whether you're using paper ones or digital ones. Packets allow me to give my students all of their handouts and everything they need for an entire unit at one time. And this makes it so easy when you have to be absent for them to continue on in their learning without you because they already have the practice and the activities and the notes, outlines, or whatever it may be there for them. And I will link in the show notes a blog post about packets as an organizational tool if you're interested in learning more about how to make your own. And then last but not least, I really recommend recording your lecture videos. This is something I started doing years ago, pre-pandemic, before I ever knew how useful they would actually be, just to help my absent students because I was at a really small school where every student was playing four sports and in the play and traveling all the time. So students were just out a lot. And so I started recording my lecture videos just to have them available to them. But it was so nice then in the subsequent years to have access to those so that when students were absent or when I had to be absent, I could leave the video, they could watch it, they could take notes, then they could do some follow-up reinforcement practice, whatever it may be. And then when I returned, all we had to do was quickly go over them and then we could jump into our next lab or whatever it is that I really wanted to do with them that was hands-on and fun. So highly recommend that. That is something that takes more time on the front end, but you do reap the benefits for years down the road. So I recommend that, and I will link in the show notes my YouTube channel of all my lecture videos. You can totally use those with your students. They're up for free, or just see how I did them so you get an idea for how I kind of set that up. So my action tip for you for this strategy is just choose one thing you can start doing now to set yourself up for success in the future when you may need to write sub plans, whether that's batching or starting to incorporate more student-centered learning activities, or maybe trying packets, or maybe starting to record some of your lecture videos. Because all of these things are going to be useful. And not just when you're absent, they're going to be helpful when you are in school, and then they'll continue to be helpful year after year if you get into those habits and routines. Okay, whew, that was one of the longest ones, I think, but I just got so excited because I just want to really, really equip you to simplify the times that you have to be absent because I know it's much more than you want it to be right now. And I hope these suggestions really help you to finish the year strong, regardless of how many more variants emerge or sick days you're forced to take, and that you can use these to start to implement action tips now for a much smoother year in and out of the classroom next year. And I know I mentioned a lot of different free sites and additional blog posts in today's episode, so just be sure to check out the show notes or head to itsnotrocketscienceclassroom.com/episode16 and you can grab all of those links. Thank you so much for listening today. I am really so grateful for your feedback so that I can answer questions that you really want answered on this podcast. If you have more questions or topics you want to hear an episode about, please send me a DM on Instagram at itsnotrocketscience or its.not.rocket.science and let me know what you want to hear next. All right, teacher friends, that wraps up today's episode. If you're looking for an easy way to start simplifying your life as a secondary science teacher, head to itsnotrocketscienceclassroom.com/challenge to grab your classroom reset challenge. And guess what? It's totally free. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I'll see you here next week. Until then, I'll be rooting for you, teacher friend.